This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Portraiture is an artistic expression that's been around for more than 2,000 years at least and has continued to evolve. In ancient Egypt, individuals painted portrait-style images of pharaohs in temples and palaces. During the Renaissance, artists sat down for portraits with others in their social circles. A new exhibit called Regard is on view at Meredith College, and it looks at modern portraiture through the work of 15 pairs of artists. They sat down for reciprocal portraits, and their juxtaposition of these images illuminates both their distinct relationships with one another and differences in artistic form, technique, and approach. The exhibit is on view through February, and we get a preview today in our studio. Joining me first is the exhibit co-curator, Janet Link. She's an artist and adjunct professor at NC State's College of Design. Janet, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about where the idea for this project came from.
A former student of mine and I had this plan to make portraits of each other, and which made us start thinking that we would like to see what would happen if we asked other artists to do the same thing. And so we pitched it to Lisa Pierce at the gallery at Meredith College, and she invited us to curate the show.
And what we did, I mean, so you're going to take do portraits of each other, but then you wonder what it would be like. I mean, what goes through your imagination? What are you imagining it would be like if you had these artists attend?
Well, I think that it was, rather than kind of imagining what might happen, it was more of a question of let's see what will happen. You know, let's see what are all the many ways that people can interpret this notion of portraiture. And it's turned out to be a really wide-ranging.
Very wide-ranging. We'll talk more about the particulars, but they're not all representational, and they're very interesting ideas that have emerged, and certainly works of art. And it's called Regard. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the name.
Well, we chose Regard because there's several different, you can attach several different meanings to that word. You know, you can think about looking at someone as regarding them. And as an artist who's sitting down to have a portrait made of them, you are in a position of being regarded by an artist, which is an unusual kind of place to be in for artists sometimes. And then it also, I hope, refers to a kind of respect for someone in their work and consideration. And it seems like a word to me that has lots of different connotations that can apply to these images.
Well, the idea that caught my attention is you, as you suggested, this being in a somewhat different position of suddenly being the object. Mm-hmm. What is that like for you as one who generally studies the object and brings your subjectivity to it? Now you know that somebody who's trained in this profession is looking at you like you're a...
Well, it is... to draw from observation requires a really high level of scrutiny, which I am very willing to impose upon other people. But I get a little squirmy when it's directed at me. Now, I say that, but all three of the images that are made of me in this show were made outside of my presence. So they're based on photographs, they're based on conversations, and also based on a casting that the glass artist Dean Allison took of my face and of my hand. And that was sort of the most kind of arresting image of myself to look at. My husband says it looks exactly like me when I'm sleeping.
Which is something you don't get to see. Why was it arresting for you?
Well, for me, there's this immediate sort of connection to kind of like a death mask. So it was a little bit like looking at a death mask of myself, even though I recognize that I would look very different if I had been dead. You know,
especially to you.
Yes, yes, indeed. So, so it's a little bit strange, and it's exactly life size, and it's hung at about sort of my eye level, so I can just kind of stand there and ponder it. But its eyes are closed, and it's not looking at me, and it's just a really beautiful, kind of wonderful experience.
Take us back now, the history of portraiture, or what we know about it anyway. It goes back a ways. I started with Egypt. Mm-hmm. Let's start there.
Well, there are a lot of those paintings, those Egyptian paintings that are portraits, were on coffins. So in a way, they, you know, to me, they sort of function like a sort of reliquary, a kind of, you know, they contain something of that person that is not there anymore. And then I suppose portraiture has always been used in figurative art as as a mechanism for getting at images of people. They are not necessarily meant to signify a particular person, but they're based on observations of a particular person. And then they get towards this this notion of actually representing a person. Right. So that can sometimes be somebody that's commissioning that, who has a very specific agenda about what the kind of image that they want projected of themselves. But then also artists spent time with people in their own circles, the people they were having conversations with. So, you know, there are portraits of writers and other artists and, you know, people that they admired. And I sort of find something different in those images than...
One wonders if you go back to those ancient portraits again, we're talking mostly about significant people. We're mm-hmm. guessing that they didn't, you know, sort of common folk didn't get their portraits done in mm-hmm. any way. Whether or not the artist was reflecting the common understanding of who this person was and mm-hmm. had felt any license to say, oh, I know what King Tut was like.
Right.
It was nothing like his personal.
Right.
The image you project. King Tut on Twitter. Let's imagine that. but then moving forward, as you talk about the Renaissance, where artists are engaged in a little deeper process of mm-hmm. sort of finding out, and I mean, they're doing autopsies, for God's sake, so mm-hmm. they're getting under the skin. Mm-hmm. Again, it would have a little different valence and importance in mm-hmm. that. And now we're in the age of selfies, where mm-hmm. I don't need you,
right.
artist. Beat it. Mm-hmm. I can do this myself.
Mm-hmm.
And how that changes your notion of what a portrait should be.
Well, one of the things that I have been doing is just on a very sort of superficial level, kind of adopting some of the form of what we think of as a selfie. So I'm working in a square format, which is something that I've not done before, which I take directly from Instagram, even though, you know, the minute I decided to do it, Instagram decided to let us do different formats. and then I also am working a lot with photographic images, and mostly that I take with my cell phone, and which is something that I've not done in the past. I've ordinarily worked from life. So, you know, I think all of that stuff has the potential to inform yeah. people who make things out of other things. And I have assigned my students this semester that they have to come to the show and take a selfie with their favorite picture, their favorite
portrait. Oh, this is
portrait,
great.
So.
This is great. That's the next exhibit.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to bring in some other contributors to this project. Ellen O'Hara Slavik is a professor of visual art at UNC Chapel Hill. Welcome back to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Nice to be here. Thanks.
And Raymond Goodman is a photographer and former student of Ellen's. Welcome, Raymond.
Welcome. Good to see you.
It's good to have you here. Ellen, tell us about your involvement in this project. Raymond got you into this, right?
Yeah, so Raymond registered for my conceptual photography class last fall, and I didn't really know him that well. We had met 20 years ago in Raleigh for some other reason, and he asked me to do this project, and I was like, okay, but, you know, as long as it can be something we do in class. And I was doing a demonstration of the cyanotype process, which is when you put an object on sun-sensitive paper to UV light, and you expose it to the sun for about 10 minutes. So I told him I would do it, and we did it in class, and luckily it came out beautifully. You know, he's laying.
Describe it for us, yeah.
So you coat the paper with the cyanotype chemical, and it dries, and then you come out to the sun, and I had him lay down on it face down. It was actually, the sun was really bright. He was sweating. So there's actually this sort of orb inside his head that somebody called an embryo forming in his head because of the sweat left
oh, yeah.
a stain. But his hands are up over his head, which is a pretty vulnerable position, but it leaves a white shadow. So everything that the sun hits turns cyan blue, and where he was is white with a few stains in yeah. like in his mind. So it's interesting to talk about Egypt or death, portraits of death, because it is like a negative shadow. Or I started to do cyanotypes because of the shadows left in Hiroshima at the time of the A-bomb. So it is for me directly linked to death and loss and absence, and how do you make that present. But I didn't know him that well, and it's a very a perfect portrait of him because it's open. You could relate to it. You don't see that it's Raymond Goodman.
No facial features.
Yeah.
No,
it's
real
just
detail.
A man.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Raymond, tell us about why you asked Ellen to be part of this project. What interested you about this project?
Sherry DiFilippo, who shares studio space with me, is partnered with Janet in creating this regard project, and she suggested that I should consider doing it, and I told her no. And
that's always the best answer right off the bat.
So she insisted, and through a series of events, I ended up in Ellen's class and thought, who better to do this portrait project with than who I'm learning from? Yeah. So I had no idea what I was going to do.
Well, what did you think when you saw this portrait of you, this photograph?
So I saw it in the darkroom as we were – our class was there while Ellen washed this large piece of paper, and it was turning blue and white, and it was incredible. And my hands are up, and she holds it up, and there's a man's shadow with his hands up. It's pretty powerful. And the first thing that came to mind was hands up, don't shoot. That image came up pretty clearly.
I mean, that's interesting to me. If I may, you appear to be a white guy for whom this may not be such a powerful idea. And yet that was the first thing you...
It's a very powerful idea,
yeah.
I think, to a human.
Yeah.
Right.
But it may not... I don't know if this is something that had been on your mind
or
if
sure.
suddenly you saw an identification through this photograph that maybe you hadn't made as clearly. No,
I hadn't made that association until I saw it in front of myself, yeah.
And your portrait of Ellen is really a number of portraits, a number of different photographic images. Can you describe it for us?
Sure. It's a square image, like Janet's, like Instagram's. It's 35 inches square, made up of 49 color photos in a 7x7 grid. They're all square as well. And those color photos are dominant blue and yellow, and which are the complementary colors or complement each other well.
It's multiple photos, and I find it interesting. It's a kind of it has a layered effect too.
It does.
In some senses, for me, it gives me a sense of timeline, although it doesn't work that way. It's sort of vertical, but then there's a certain depth to it as well.
Right. I used T-pins to float black and white portraits above the blue portraits, the color ones. So the classic portrait is floating over these aspects of Ellen that were, I guess, facets of what you see on the surface to kind of create a depth of who this person is, where you see her tools, you'll see her hands, you'll see her work. Her clothes, the textiles that she wears. And that creates this kind of underpinning of the classic portrait style, the three-quarter headshot.
How much of that style was something you simply wanted to experiment with, or how much of it had to do with your understanding of who Ellen was, or maybe even wanting to get to know more deeply, which is one of the things that suggests these kinds of layers of being.
Right, and the timeline... thing that you point out is quite a heavy influence to it, because I was thinking about this thing throughout the entire semester. As you know, here it comes. What am I going to do? Here it comes, and I would think about Ellen and how do I present her in a portrait, and think, well, here's a piece of her. Here's a piece of her. Her hands, which are ever present, the ring she always wears, these things that we always see as her students, as her comrades, as her friend, and you see these snapshots, these little moments in the color field, and then a more formal black and white portraits of her above.
So, Ellen, what was your reaction when you saw this?
Oh, he got an A.
I
loved it because I mean it's I describe it as a photographic collage almost, and that I've been spending most of my time in the last couple of years doing collages. So in that way, it really seems to get at the core of me. But just that cyanotype blue that runs throughout, and the way he installed it, and he also had clementines that we could eat next to the piece, so the blue and the orange. It was just a really beautiful, generous piece, and he also gave everybody in the class one of the prints. So it was. I mean, I loved it. I was flattered. I said at the critique, I've never had somebody do a portrait of me in class. I've been teaching 23 years, so it was a pretty bizarre experience to have to critique it.
I would say Raymond's A suggests there may be much more of this to come. I don't know for sure. What's your sense of this whole project, though, and having seen it now, these side-by-side portraits of artists, you know, sort of gazing at each other?
Well, I loved it. I mean, I was so glad in the end one that he asked me and seeing those portraits together, which Lisa has used to promote the show, which is lovely to keep seeing them on Facebook, Instagram posters. But they really complement each other and they're very different. I mean, mine is just this sort of symbolic white shadow of a man. And his is this really complicated, layered black and white color portrait of a woman. And it's I think it is sort of teacher, student, friend. It covers a lot of ground. But the idea of, I mean, you've both said it, the artists have been looking at each other or doing portraits from the beginning of time, you know, from the cave paintings to now, that it's a really wonderful exercise. And just the range that portraits can be made in, you know, from just having somebody lay down on paper to work, spending so much more time and arranging and tone, you know,
I wonder what
things.
It does. You know, we're talking these days, doctors now, more and more medical programs are asking doctors to talk about illness and sickness to sort of allow them or help them empathize. I wonder if this, Janet, maybe I'll put the question to you, is it kind of a good exercise for artists to become objects?
Oh, of course I think that. And I, one of the pairs of portraits that I was involved with was with Sherry DiFilippo, who's a former student of mine. And I asked my portrait sitters to bring an object with them. And she brought this crazy cacophony of an outfit of lots of plaid and lots of jewelry and lots of things that demanded lots of attention. And I wondered on some level when I was making it whether or not I was being tortured in a way that I had perhaps tortured her as a student.
This is the get back. But she, talk about objects. I mean, she did. She went and got the objects from your office, right? Tell us about her reciprocal.
Yeah. So she asked me for images of me as a child, and so her portrait of me is based on a photograph that my father took of me when I was a little girl. So it's this weird kind of combination of a little girl who I will say that my natural state is kind of a resting grouchy face.
Mm.
and I think that that is part of her intent in the portrait is to communicate something of our sort of initial meeting where she was intimidated by me as a teacher. But she managed to choose an image where I've got this kind of resting, grouchy face, and I'm just this little, you know, this little eight or nine-year-old girl. And she, by contrast, is a very energetic and serious person, and I'm a little intimidated by her in some ways. And but her portrait, even though it's this weird kind of awkward outfit and cacophony of plaid, is that it turned out to be much more sort of open and kind of serene.
And not all of the portraits in this exhibit are representational. One even includes some of the dust and debris from an office, right? Maybe
yes.
You can describe that one.
So that is a pair of portraits that is made by me and Sally Van Gorder. I made a drawing, pretty straightforward drawing of her, and she collected from me shavings, pencil shavings, and charcoal dust shavings, and things that I had swept up off my floor, and also scraped skin cells off my arm. And so she used these things as mark-making tools in these beautiful red prints.
What have you learned from this?
You know, I don't know whether I've got a concrete answer to that at the moment. I have learned a lot personally about sort of what it is, you know, the kind of direction that is that I want to go in kind of next, which is an awesome thing. But I've also learned a lot about how many different things can be a portrait. You know, if I had sat down on my own and tried to make a list and use my imagination, I wouldn't have come anywhere near what's in this exhibition.
So you're going to have to go to Meredith College to see exactly what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good. Well, I want to thank you for being with us on this program. Janet Link is the co-curator of the portraiture exhibit called Regard. Also with me is Raymond Goodman, who joined us with Ellen O'Hara Slavik, a professor of visual art at UNC Chapel Hill. Thank you both.
Thanks, Frank, for
being on the air. Regard on view at the Weems Gallery at Meredith College through February 12th, the reception and artist talk next Thursday, January 26th. We have that information at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, Tiff Merritt is back. We'll have music from her latest album live on the State of Things. Stay tuned.